This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host for this first hour. I first want to thank everybody for tuning into this weekend show and for all the emails and comments that I have gotten again throughout the week on our website, mostly involving companies, too, which is nice to see that there are still a lot of active investors out there trying to pick some of the better resource companies. Please, everyone, go back and let me know what you think of some of the company interviews and some of the stocks that we are following, or I'm following directly. I am kicking off this show with Mike Larson. He is the editor of the Safe Money Report. You can also find or follow along with Mike on Twitter at RealMikeLarson. Now, Mike, let's talk about this move that we have seen over the last couple weeks into more risk on assets. U.S. markets have touched all-time highs and have actually held around these all-time highs quite nicely, especially at the very beginning of November. We actually have kind of a gap in that monthly chart with how the markets opened in November. What's your thought on what seems to be this more euphoric move in the markets into more of the risk-on assets?
Yeah, we've seen, you know, I mean, in our previous conversations, basically since January 2018, we've talked about how it had been the more defensive type stuff that was winning, you know, your utilities, your real estate investment trust, your consumer staples, and so on. Those sort of pre-recessionary type sectors were the ones that were outperforming in the stock market, and your banks, your transport, things like that were underperforming or actually losing value. So you're seeing money rotate into kind of the things you would own in an economic downturn. But ever since Powell's most recent, you know, Federal Open Market Committee meeting, and really a little bit before that, for a few weeks before that, we've seen money rotate into the riskier stuff, kind of on the assumption that, hey, the Fed's cutting rates three times here. It's going to be ponies and unicorns like in 1995 and 1998 all over again, which those were the sort of what Powell and the rest of the Fed has referred to as mid-course corrections, insurance, rate cuts, and so on. In their world, it's just like 95, 98, where, you know, they had previously raised rates. You had sort of a slowdown in the economy, but it wasn't a recession. They cut rates, offset it, and then the stock markets went ballistic in the first case for, you know, 96, 97, and in the second case for 99, obviously, at the blow-off we had right before the dot-com bust. That's sort of what they're operating is. And I think right now, that's what people are trading off of. I don't agree that that's what we're seeing here. I mean, we're much further into this economic expansion. As a matter of fact, this is the longest economic expansion since the mid-1800s, at least, here in the United States. This is also a situation where asset values are much more inflated than they ever were in 95 and 98. It's also the case where you have other things going on that are kind of echo what you saw at the peak of the dot-com bubble and the beginning of that bust in terms of all this Uber, WeWork, Lyft nonsense where these stocks are crashing and burning. So I see a lot of reasons why it's not similar. And, you know, we've talked about the yield curve inversion before and how in this cycle it was actually the most severe since, you guessed it, right before the dot-com bust. All of these things are pointing to something worse than a slowdown, sort of a mid-course correction. To me, it's the end of the credit cycle and that we're going to be heading into recession next year. But for the short term, you know, like I said, 6, 7, 8 weeks, the opposite has been apparent in the markets. So with that said, you know, we're testing or attempting to break out and hold new highs. You know, this is, in fact, the fifth time that the S&P 500 has attempted to do that since after the January 2018 blow-off. In each prior case, it either got to within, you know, it got to right around the same level or up about 1 or 2% above the previous highs, and then it fell apart. They couldn't hold. That's kind of where we're at now, that 2% mark. So it'll be interesting to see if this time the breakout holds. Just like the previous ones we've seen, and the one thing I've been, you know, warning about is that the credit markets haven't been playing along. credit spread. So, you know, if Uncle Sam borrows at 1.7% in your company, you have to borrow at some additional extra amount above that. So if it's, you know, 3.7%, that's a 200 basis point spread, meaning the market is only willing to give you money if you're going to pay 200 basis points more than Uncle Sam. Those spreads had been narrowing up until January of 2018. So the credit market was saying, hey, things are rosy, just like the equity market was saying things are rosy. Ever since then, they've said the opposite. Credit spreads remain wider than they were the last, really since January 2018. They're not blowing out like they did in the Great Recession, but they are widening gradually. And in the case of the worst junk out there, these triple C rated bonds, they actually are blowing out quite a bit. So some of that's energy related and the problems in that sector. But overall, there's sort of this dichotomy, this split between what bonds are saying and stocks are saying, and even in volatility markets. The volatility markets aren't confirming the equity market advance either. So until those kind of divergences start fixing themselves, and even our own Weiss ratings buy-sell data suggests that there's not as much participation in this rally, until those things start correcting themselves, I'm hesitant to chase here. And I still think, you know, being somewhat cautious to see if this actually can hold would be the wisest play for investors.
Okay, so it's not all roses for this move higher. We've talked a lot just over the last few weeks on general breadth, which has been weak, and still some of the worrisome signs that are in the markets. But the fact of the matter is we have seen this rotation into risk-on assets in the U.S., but also internationally, too. Can you comment on some of the moves that we've seen in global markets that have also been reaching at least highs for this year?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, again, we've had 21 months of underperformance by this stuff and about 6 to 8 weeks of outperformance. So you have seen foreign markets advance. You've seen interest rates go up at the, after hitting or almost all-time lows in some cases, and in others, actual all-time lows. You've seen bank stocks outperform. You've seen bounces in, you know, kind of perceived inflation levels and so on. All these things point to a temporary reprieve from everything we saw for the last almost 2 years. And it's a question of whether it has staying power. You know, it's what you want to see if it holds, persists, and extends. So that's what I'm kind of watching. You know, expression you put your hand on the stove once, you should learn not to do it again. Investors have touched the stove four times already. And this is the fifth. We'll see if they get burned or we'll see if this is a different pattern. I'm skeptical because we haven't even seen the recessionary type data and recessionary type market moves you would expect to see. But again, that would be sort of, you know, what I expect to see as next year unfolds.
All right. Now, how about some of that volatility we saw in the precious metals this week? In terms of the metals, too, even after that fairly big sell-off, they are managing to hold again in this higher range. Do you think that's telling us something, or do you think that maybe there is a bit more correction that needs to happen here?
Well, I think, you know, I think we're in this sort of all in the same trade, right? This 7 or 8 week pattern of, you know, metals prices pulling back but still holding their breakouts. Yield spread or the yield curve widening out, but not breaking above significant levels. The absolute level of interest rates going up somewhat, but not breaking above significant levels. And the overall market seeing some improvement, but nothing that changes the overall lack of participation trend. And even as I said earlier, the credit spread situation, everything has improved, but only in a sort of a corrective fashion. If I saw things like gold prices breaking down sharply, if I saw treasury bonds breaking down sharply in price and yields breaking out, if I saw participation broaden out, then that would tell me this is more than just a correction. That would tell me that maybe the Fed's right with this 95-98 scenario. But so far, everything I'm seeing, whether it's, you know, the modest sort of corrective pattern in gold or gold equities or interest rates or volatility and so on, it's all kind of just saying the same story. Things have been pretty far, pretty fast. Now they're taking a breather and they're getting reset for the next move. So in my opinion, I would expect to see gold break out to the upside before all that long, and maybe, you know, set its sights on 1600 to 1700 more so than I would expect to see it fall below 1400, for example.
All right, Mike, we're going to wrap it up there. Always great having you on the show. Thanks for taking some time again this weekend. And remember, everyone, go follow Mike on Twitter at RealMikeLarson. If anyone wants Mike and I to discuss any certain topics, too, feel free to reach out to me, Fleck at KEReport.com. Mike, it's great chatting with you. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNlife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNlife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment and for the remaining three segments of the first hour, we are going to focus primarily on the resource sector. In this segment, I am chatting with Joe Mazumdar, editor over at Exploration Insights. Now, Joe, we're going to step outside of the U.S. because you just returned from a visit to Finland. You went to a conference over in Finland, which is more or less kind of the PDAC of the Scandinavian countries. First, just take us through some of your interests. What possessed you? What got you over to Finland for this conference? And what are some of your just initial takeaways, please?
Thanks. With respect to Finland, I went there because I do this capital market for geologists short course with some friends in at Roundup, and there was a Finnish contingent there, and they asked us to do the same course up in Finland. I mean, I've been aware of Finland for a while because I had another site visit there up 3 years ago to see Mawson resources. Finland was always a place that people were working, but I think with Orion probably being the linchpin here, has done up in Finland and raised so much money and got joint ventures there with B2 Gold. And Kinross has really, increased the excitement around gold exploration in Finland. So basically, Finland, very stable jurisdiction, the top quartile, top five with respect to, investment attractiveness index with the Fraser, the policy potential index, really, scores very well on the corruption perception index, which is transparency.org. So very stable jurisdiction. I mean, it scores better than Canada or the U.S., and the ease of doing business there, ranks very highly as well. I guess the difference in mentality in Finland versus Canada and some other Western countries is they're a tad more socialist, and so potentially there's a little less entrepreneurial spirit there, and potentially there's less exploration companies that are Finnish there. There's more exploration companies. About 50% of the money raised to explore in Finland comes from Canada. But what we do see is that in Scandinavia, there's a big push for battery elements. And so if you have a company that's looking for nickel, cobalt, copper, lithium, or something like that, you might be able to raise money locally. But for gold, right now, most of the money is coming outside of the country.
And now, is the country okay with all these essentially foreign companies coming in and exploring?
Well, yes. I mean, so the other part of the conference was a site visit to Kittila. So Kittila is a big underground mine that Agnico are expanding, that they purchased back in, I think it was in 2006 or 2004. And they've been expanding that. And what's hard to get my head around is this is an underground deposit of 4.5 grams, almost consistent 4.5 grams. There might be some internal variability, but that's the way they present it. 4.5 underground refractory ore where they're building a shaft almost a kilometer down. So for me, I don't see that being all that economic. But given the cheap power costs, it's mostly hydro, they have grid power, even though you're way north of the Arctic Circle, it's all drive-in, drive-out. There's no camp. There's no helicopter-supported exploration there. Everybody just lives there or close by. And so a lot of the G&A costs are not typical of a project that is that far north. Economically, it still works, and it still, justifies, I guess, Agnico's expansion into the project. And so from Finland's point of view, that's been a bit of a success story. So they're not against foreigners coming in and directing investment and, basically investing in projects that work. So if you can actually find a project and put it into production and, get through all the environmental hurdles, we've seen projects being built there. The issue has been previously, I mean, still consistently, they have this area that's preserved and that you can't work on, and the access issues are a little bit more complicated. You can work around it, but it just takes longer. Those are the natural ground. And that's become something that's held people back before. in Scandinavian countries, but since these companies are now exploring there and getting around it or, you know, managing it, people are less adverse to investing in Finland right now. Another issue about investing, about companies in Finland is the holding costs. The land holding costs can be up to, like when you start, about 20 euro per hectare. And it could get up higher the longer you hold the ground. So that can be a burden on a grassroots explorer that, you know, raising money, and how much money do you need to raise just to hold the ground. And so that's why you see potentially a lot more joint ventures on big land packages, like you see with Orion with the Kinross JV and B2 Gold, trying to keep their own costs down.
So with some of the majors already operating mines and active in the country, there are some juniors that are doing some grassroots exploration and even some resource expansion. Are you finding some opportunities in Finland, or is this still just kind of on your radar, maybe not an aggressive move for your portfolio?
Okay, with respect to investing in Finland, I like it. I like the jurisdiction. The prospectivity looks good. You can see that, you know, there's big companies not only looking at acquiring ground, obviously Agnico's already operating there. So the interest by majors is there. You know, back in 2012, when all the exploration was peaking all over the world, you know, Finland had about $170 million of exploration directed to it. Right now, it's been about stable at about $60 million, which might be a good number for them. Interestingly, like in the last several months, four companies have raised about $30 million to explore mostly in Finland. That's included Orion Resources, Mawson, Rupert Resources, Palladium One, and also Firefox. So companies are exploring. Some of them are, you know, building big land packages, but with the constraint that they actually have to do joint ventures because of the big holding costs. But each one's got a bit of a different angle, but most of them are for gold. You know, Palladium One is the new one that's come in to look at a palladium-rich part of a magmatic nickel deposit. But most of these ones are gold. And in that part of Europe, there is a tendency to more look for battery metals than gold. And so most of the money to explore for gold appears to be coming from outside, mostly Canada.
Joe, it's great chatting with you. I appreciate everything you write in the Exploration Insights newsletter. If anybody wants more information on that newsletter, feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will put you in touch with Joe and his team. Joe, thanks again for your time. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Great. Thanks a lot, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Two key Trump administration officials have told impeachment investigators that they witnessed White House discussions with Ukraine, a meeting in the White House for an investigation of Joe Biden and his son. Meanwhile, President Trump continued his attack on the whistleblower.
So the whistleblower is a disgrace to our country, a disgrace. And the whistleblower, because of that, should be revealed.
The president's accusations about the whistleblower prompted the person's attorney to send a cease and desist letter to the White House, warning that as a direct consequence of the president's irresponsible rhetoric, their client's physical safety is now a significant concern. The lawyer for former National Security Advisor John Bolton says he has brand new information that may be relevant in the impeachment inquiry about meetings and conversations related to Ukraine. This is USA Radio News.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully to the best offer you're going to get. One of the best assets on earth. Okay, so we all know we live in a world of political turmoil and financial deception that stretches from Wall Street to Europe to Beijing, which are all like bubbles searching for a pin right now. With one exception, gold and silver, which have held their value over history better than any other asset class on earth ever. So here's my irresistible offer to show you how committed I am to protecting your financial future. I've asked my sponsor, Swiss America, to virtually give you one of the most popular precious metal coins ever minted, below their cost for just $18.50 each, delivered while supplies last. You heard me right. This is an exclusive offer to my listeners by calling now 800-630-2158. Write it down, 800-630-2158. One of the most popular precious metal coins ever minted for $18.50, 800-630-2158, or go to SwissAmerica.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-613-2646. That's 1-800-613-2646. 1-800-613-2646.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to continue to focus on resources in general, starting with the precious metals here with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Jeff, let's talk about gold. Gold, you and I were chatting off mic, and you made the comment that it's where all the investment money is right now. There has been a big push into gold this year, and quite frankly, even when I talk to a lot of our listeners and a lot of the analysts, everyone is still very much focused on gold and gold stocks. What kind of a scenario does this set up for the overall gold market in your eyes? Let's start there.
Well, I don't think that it's anything new. I think that it's always been that way. You know, gold is like 1% of the dollar value of international commodities production, but it's like 40% of international commodities trading value. And that's because gold has this 5,000-year-old history of being money or quasi-money or a financial asset as well as a commodity. And so I don't think it's necessarily new, but I think what you're seeing is a lot of investors saying, I'm interested in gold because I'm worried about the economic outlook both in the United States but also on a global basis and the political outlook. And I'm more interested in gold as a safe haven and portfolio and wealth diversifier and protection against chaos and uncertainty than I am interested in industrial commodities that could suffer if we see continued slow growth, a continued slowdown in growth, or even a recession. So I think that that's what you're seeing right now.
Okay. And you know what? There are still a lot of fears in regarding global economics and politics. But the fact of the matter is the last few weeks, actually the last couple of months, we have seen the precious metals and gold price fade a little bit. Can you address these recent COT reports, or I guess they're not even the recent COT reports, where we are seeing still a pretty large spec long position, which does have at least some people uneasy, saying this does need to correct itself, which should happen during some sort of a more substantial pullback?
I don't know that it has to correct itself. I was talking to some investors today, and I was saying to some extent this is sort of, today is sort of like 2006, 2007, and I'll get back to that in a second. But yeah, you know, look, you've got 26 million ounces of open interest in the December COMEX gold contract. You have like 780 million ounces in December silver contract. I feel like, boy, that's a very large, long position, mostly by investors. But if you go back to 2006, 2007, the price of gold had gone from $270 in 2000 up to $500, $600, $700, $800 in the course of 2006, 2007. And we were telling investors, we issued a buy recommendation in 2000, and we kept it on until 2011, 2012. And in 2006, 2007, we had investors say, well, you know, if the price is $700, you know, and that's almost a record. In fact, it's higher than the annual average price in nominal terms in 1980. So maybe I should take my profits. And our view was, no, usually we're value investors and you buy low and sell high. This is not high. You know, these prices are going up and you should buy into the rally and buy into the rising prices as opposed to pulling back and waiting. Now, you know, 4 months later, 6 months later, when the price got to 1,000, we said, wait, you'll see $900 and then buy. And then, you know, the price did come down to $900 in the second quarter of 2008. And then we said, okay, now you buy, you know, but I think that where we're at in terms of the financial markets and the economy and the political system, it's a lot like 2006, 2007. And you're at this point where you buy into the strength. We've seen that we expected the price of gold to come off in late October, early November. It did. It's been trading between 1480 and 1520. We think that might be the low. There's a possibility it could spike lower, but there's a good possibility it doesn't spike lower, that this is the takeoff place. And so we're telling clients 1480, 1490 as we speak may be a good level in which to buy because the price could be 1540 or even 1600 by the end of the year, and it could go up into January and February. So we're not necessarily convinced that this may be the low. And I don't know that you're going to see those long positions unwind, because a lot of those long positions are not short-term opportunistic people who are going to pull back at this point. These are more longer-term people who are looking at the global financial and political situation and saying, I want to stay long for a long period of time. Because quite frankly, you know, stock market's at a record level. While companies like Uber are reporting quarterly losses of $1 billion, so there's a lot of people who are saying, okay, I think I want to stay long gold because the stock market's looking top heavy. The bond market has a great deal of uncertainty. The dollar's looking top heavy. I think I'm going to maintain these positions. I don't necessarily see those long positions liquidating anytime soon.
Okay. Hey, very interesting comments there. Also, can you address where the central banks are standing? Because, quite frankly, a lot of the run that started kind of later part of last year, I think had to do with the Fed getting easier, cutting rates, and even recently they've been injecting some capital into the repo market. But now the Fed said that they are going back on pause. Is that why you think we've seen a little bit of a fade in the precious metals price?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, you know, we wrestle with it internally constantly, what the Fed is doing. And I think the Fed is wrestling internally about with the state of the economy. And there's a great deal of uncertainty, not only on the financial markets, but I think the Fed is too. So the Fed is sort of saying, you know, on the one hand, we don't want to be too loose. But on the other hand, there's really no apparent reason to need to tighten right now. Inflation is below our targets. We're seeing a lot of disinflationary pressures. We're having weakness that's been caused by the trade wars, but we're also having other cyclical weaknesses. So we have the scope to loosen up. And at the same time, other countries that have worse economic environments than the United States are being very accommodative too. So I think that you've got a situation where they're being accommodative, and that's causing a lot of people to sort of pull back and say, wait a second, you know, we have trillions of dollars sitting on the sideline in money markets and CDs while people try to figure out where we're going to go next. And some of that money is staying in gold and coming into gold, but some of it's on the sidelines, waiting for a clearer direction. And I don't know when that clearer direction of central bank attitudes comes along, because, you know, they're looking at the same economic data that we're all looking at, and it's a very much of a mixed bag at this point.
Yeah, good point. Now, your comment there that there's still a lot of money on the sidelines waiting to almost get pushed into some sort of a trade, and, you know, an economic data or a Fed change of policy could push them in that direction. What other factors do you think could play a role in getting some of this money that's on the sidelines into especially the precious metals market?
Well, our view is that you're probably going to see a steady flow, and that you're not going to have any cataclysmic event 2020, 2021 even. You know, that it's going to be this, we're going to have subpar economic growth, great confusion and uncertainty about the state of the economy. We don't necessarily see a recession in 2020, but we see lower growth in the United States and most parts of the world in 2020, 2021 than we've seen in 2019, which is down from 2017, 2018. So, you know, we think that you're going to have a situation where investors are slowly filtering into the gold market, and, you know, the prices are moving up toward record levels, but in a very moderate way. So I think that there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of things that could go wrong, but our view is that they probably will not materialize into cataclysmic problems, at least for the next year or two. But they're not going away either.
All right, Jeff, we need to wrap it up for this segment on the radio, but I am having you back on to wrap up the first hour. So everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back with the Jeff Christian.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, this is George Norrie. I'll be in the Chicago area October 25th and 26th for the Health Freedom Expo. It's going to be an incredible weekend of lectures, workshops, and exhibits with leading experts and the newest products in natural and alternative medicine. Joint speakers Jeffrey Smith, Lisa Oz, Patch Adams, Ocean Robbins, and Doc Wallach. And get your tickets today at TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com. You have a right to a naturally vibrant and healthy life. That's TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com or call 1-888-658-3976.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hey guys, it's Sue Kosner, your favorite sexual health expert, with another version of Ask the Pro. This month, I got a letter from Sandy in Seattle about an explosive bedroom secret she and her husband recently discovered. She writes, "Dear Sue, my husband and I used to have a great life in the bedroom, but in the last few years, he has struggled. He's tried about everything, but nothing has worked. Then one day he came home and gave me a night I will never forget. He told me about this secret formula, Noxitril, that changed our life in the bedroom once and for all." Wow, Sandy, you beat me to it. I recommend Noxitril to every guy that struggles in the bedroom. It's the only one. Noxitril is all natural and works to increase blood flow fast. It's like that little blue pill on steroids. Noxitril has a special free bottle offer shipped discreetly to your door.
To find out how to get your bottle of Noxitril, call 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954. Get your free bottle for a limited time. Call now. 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954.
Dahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Welcome back. Continuing to chat with Jeff Christian, managing partner over at CPM Group. Let's get a quick comment on some of the earnings we've seen out of the majors, too, because we've actually seen some better numbers coming out of the majors. Goes hand in hand with higher metals prices. What I know you work with a number of large companies, mining companies. What's the overall attitude of these large miners when it comes to, first of all, producing these good numbers and building up cash positions, potentially to inject that money back into the sector?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because if you go back a year or 2 years ago, and it's just a year ago, you know, a lot of these companies were crying in their beer. Oh, man, you know, we're in bad shape. We can't replace our reserves. And we, you know, we're not sure how we're going to move forward. And the price of gold is low. And in the past, we've always been bailed out by rising gold prices. But maybe it's not going to happen this time. And then after June and July, the price of gold started rising. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, we're being bailed out by the price of gold again. So there's this rise of... They're exhaling. They're not joyous. They're exhaling. They're saying, okay, we dodged a bullet there, but we still don't necessarily see how we move forward in a really constructive fashion. You know, it's kind of funny. In 1993, we issued a bull recommendation on gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, February of 1993. And we had a major gold, mining company that had been our client since our inception in 1986, and they canceled the consulting agreement. And I said, why are you canceling the consulting agreement? And they said, because we don't want our mining managers to be bullish on gold prices. You know, we've gone through hell 1986 to 1992 in terms of low gold prices, and these guys have finally understood that they have to run to try to maximize the profits. And the last thing we want them to do is relax because CPM Group says the gold price is going to rise. You know, and you sort of see that attitude right now. It's like, okay, we've been saved for now by a higher gold price, and it looks like the gold price is going to stay high, which could save us, but we still have these structural problems that we just haven't figured out how to solve.
Let's also talk about silver and the investment opportunity potentially in some of the silver mining companies. I know there's a large, especially retail contingent, that still really likes silver and dives into the companies. But quite frankly, when you look at silver mining companies, they're few and far between, and most silver is actually produced as a byproduct on other projects. What's your thought on silver mining companies and the investment opportunity that they produce?
Yeah, you know, we're not an equity analytic shop. We're a commodities analytic shop. So we don't necessarily, we do look at those companies, but we don't talk about individual specific companies in public. What I can say is that right now, our conversation with investors, high net worth individual investors and institutional investors, is more focusing on the issue of silver. And I think the reason is because those investors have become disenchanted with silver mining companies as investments. And, you know, they're sort of saying to themselves, well, maybe we should be investing in silver metal as opposed to mining companies. Maybe that's a better play. And again, you know, historical precedent is there. Berkshire Hathaway looked at the silver industry in 1996, 1997, and they said, you know, wow, silver looks like a very interesting investment, but the problem is we're equity investors, and there was no silver in equity investment sufficiently large enough for us to get, you know, a position that would be meaningful to our portfolio, so I guess we can't invest. And Warren Buffett said, whoa, you know, I only have, at the time, $30 billion under management, and I can't get 2% of my assets into silver mining shares. And you're right. But the silver metal has a compelling fundamental argument. Yes. So therefore, let's buy silver metal. And the reason why Berkshire Hathaway bought physical metal, because it's not a commodities investor, and, you know, I think Buffett has spoken repeatedly about why he doesn't necessarily like investing in commodities. He likes investing in equities. But the reason why they bought the silver was because the silver equity market didn't provide them an opportunity to buy, build exposure to silver. And I think that a lot of investors are thinking the same way right now. So, you know, the questions we're getting are, talk to me about silver, more than talk to me about silver equities.
Huh. Okay, that's pretty interesting. Let's also talk about another form of precious metals, and that is the platinum group metals. We've seen kind of a dichotomy here where we have platinum. It's kind of stuck below $1,000, but palladium has been running higher. Even rhodium, which we don't talk about very much, that's at right around $5,000. So, you know what, there is a bit of a discrepancy between some of these platinum group metals. What are your thoughts on the balance here and also what investors are looking for?
I'll be very honest to say that, you know, palladium's $200 higher than we thought it would be. It's been much stronger than we thought it would be. But the thing that we're seeing among institutional investors and high net worth individuals who look at platinum group metals is, you know, the mining companies need to stop thinking of themselves as platinum miners and think of themselves as platinum group metals mining companies. Because palladium, yeah, you know, you've got platinum stuck below 1,000 and palladium, you know, touching 1,800, very strong fundamentals in the palladium market, strong fundamentals in platinum, but perhaps not as strong as palladium. And then you've got rhodium, and then you have these other metals like ruthenium and iridium, which also are seeing very strong fabrication demand and new high-tech applications and very strong prices and very small illiquid markets. And to some extent, the platinum group metals mining industry is now sort of saying, you know, 30 years after they should have, we need to think of ourselves as platinum group metals miners, not platinum miners. And, you know, platinum actually has some very good dynamics to it. And over the next 5 to 10 years, the price of platinum probably will rise sharply for a while at least. But in the meantime, as an ongoing mining concern, we have to think of ourselves as needing to supply the palladium and the rhodium and the iridium and the ruthenium that our industrial users need. And it may be that we wind up oversupplying, overproducing platinum in order to get at these other metals. But the basket of metals prices may do better for us. So we have, you know, when we look at the platinum mining industry or any platinum mining company, we look at their basket of four metals, platinum, palladium, rhodium, and gold. And one of the things that we're doing now is we're adding iridium and ruthenium to it. Obscure metals, small metals, but the value has risen significantly because the price per ounce has risen. So the value to the producers has risen. And I think that one of the things you're seeing there is this pivoting away from platinum to platinum group metals on the part of producers. That said, as I said, I think that the platinum market has strong dynamics. Ironically, one of the best things and one of the factors that will ultimately take platinum over $1,000 an ounce is in fact the fact that the palladium price is so high. You know, if the palladium price doesn't stay high, then the substitution away from palladium back to platinum is less compelling. As long as the palladium price stays high and commercial vehicles still use diesel and overall automotive and other fabrication demand remains strong for platinum, you're going to see platinum prices rise, and at some point they'll break above it. You know, and I actually have in my hand a report from on the growth of what they're calling clean diesel. But it's basically diesel, large vehicles, large trucks and buses that are using diesel, but they've got cleaner exhaust now, and they also have better fuel economy. And you know, like in the United States, 43% of the commercial trucks are powered by the latest generation of diesel engines with catalytic converters that meet emission standards or exceed emission standards while actually also delivering better fuel mileage. So I see, you know, diesel's there and it's not going away despite what certain European governments say. So I think that if you look at platinum, you've got the fact that fabrication demand will continue to grow. And as long as the palladium price stays high, you'll see some reverse substitution back into platinum. And those two factors ultimately will take platinum over $1,000.
All right. Good comments there, Jeff. It's always great having you on the show, and it's always great putting together the show. I hope everybody enjoyed this first hour. Please keep the emails coming, fleck@kereport.com. I love hearing from all of you, our listeners, and do my best to follow up with all the companies you put in front of me. Jeff, I do, again, appreciate your time that you spend with us on the KE Report. Keep up the good work, and we will be chatting again in probably about a month's time. Have a great rest of your weekend there, Jeff.
It's always a pleasure.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
We can all agree these are troubled times, right? So do you know who's on your wireless network? Whether it's a big company selling your data or a foreign hacker, if you're not protected, everybody sees your information. That's why you need Flash Routers, a custom Wi-Fi router created for privacy. Flash Routers uses a virtual private network or VPN to protect your online activity from hackers, trackers, and large corporations. And not just one, but all your devices with one out-of-the-box setup. Plus, Flash Routers also enhances your wireless network performance and unlocks powerful router management tools to let you take total control of your network. Call or click Flash Routers today at 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. That's 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. Protect your wireless home network today with Flash Routers.
Age-related macular degeneration is a leading cause of blindness in people over 55. But with treatment, it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases, reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information. Or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.